Evening. Good to see all of you here this evening. I, like Brother Roger this morning, am very nervous. It's quite an honor to stand in front of your home church and bring a message. I was sitting back in the corner over there where I always sat last Wednesday night, and Brother Riggs had me cornered and asked me if I could bring the message tonight. And I didn't have no way to get away. So I told him, let me check my schedule. I went home and checked my schedule, and there wasn't nothing on it. I started to write something in there just so. But it's a pleasure to be here. And I have to keep telling myself that I'm just a truck stop preacher. I have to keep telling myself, this is the truck stop. This is the truck stop. I have to keep that in mind when my knees are up here clanging together and all of that. You know, next week we're going to start our revival. And like Brother Roger said this morning, we're going to have to connect and reconnect with a lot of things. We need it. We need revival much. And then a couple of weeks after that, we're going to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to hone in on that too. And tonight we're going to talk about one of the people that was involved in that little incident. You know, there's a lot of athletes around the world that go to the Olympics and everywhere else, and they try and they win medals, but a whole bunch more don't win the medal. But they do win a personal victory. They do win something like that. Many of them try, many of them don't. It's whether because it's somebody said, well, you won't be there, you can't make it there. I'm here because I tried, though I didn't get the medal put around my neck, I got my own victory. And tonight we're going to talk a little bit about failure. Failure is not fatal unless you let it be. You know, we may have that job that we started that didn't work out quite the way we planned. Maybe our relationship, our marriage began in hope and ended in tears. Our children are a constant concern despite our hopes for them, because we hope we want to raise them right. We want to not fail them. We want to be sure that they get the best education they can get, the best moral values that they can get. And we pray about that a lot. I do anyway. I have a second chance. I raised my first set of kids. They're in their 40s and 50s now. And now we have Xavier, and he's just 13. So I have a second chance to maybe improve on the things that I did wrong the first go around to make that. You know, we're disappointed in our politicians. We have friends that betray us, prayers that don't seem to be answered. Even those things that we manage to achieve sometimes disappoint us because they're not exactly what we expected. So the sense of failure is never far from the surface in our lives. And the Bible records many failures because it records life as it is. It's about real people. Some of the Bible failures that we talk about today are only remembered by the success that they had after they fell. You're talking about Moses and David and Paul and Peter. Tonight we're going to take a little look at Peter. A lot of people don't say a whole lot about Peter. He's talked about in the Bible. You know this, and we're going to look at, it's right after Jesus was arrested and was being taken away. In Luke 20, chapter 22 and verse 54, it says, and they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Well, Peter, at that time, he was the one that was attributed to grabbing the sword and cutting off the guy's ear for it, because he was trying to defend Jesus. He was trying to take up for our Lord. And Jesus did heal the guy's ear. He picked it up and put it back on. And he healed him. He showed him, even at that time when he was being arrested for that, he was a loving Christ, a loving God. In his ill-conceived attempt, not only displayed courage, but in the process, he did chop off the guy's ear, the high priest of his servant. I really believe at that moment that Peter would have died to defend our Christ. He would have died to defend Jesus. But Peter followed him at a distance. Even that took courage for Peter. And people talk about Peter. He's the one, if it crossed Peter's mind, he said it. He was the one that was first into the tomb and different things. He was a guy. We all kind of need a Peter in our lives that just kind of charge us up and let us go. To be fair to Peter, though, he wasn't the only disciple standing as far away as possible. And all those that knew Jesus, including many of the women, were watching at a distance. Peter could have fled. He could have took off and run like everybody else did, but he didn't. He goes after Jesus, and it's still there at a distance. And you know, he manages somehow to worm his way into the courtyard where everybody's sitting around and talking. They got a little campfire going there, and he's right in there amongst them. You know, that's a pretty bad place for Peter to be at the time. That's enemy territory. It took courage for him to be there, because the high priest at that time was a fellow that was pretty ruthless. In fact, it was the most dangerous place he could have been at the moment, in the courtyard among the soldiers, where he could easily be identified as a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's amazing he went there. It's amazing he even stayed there. And more amazing, after he got spotted and identified by a servant girl, and there was a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man is also with him." He was identified. That was his, and then his first denial. He denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." Peter was determined. You know, Jesus was let down twice that day. He was let down by Judas that kissed him, and he was let down by Peter. Although there's a difference. A short time later, someone else repeated the charge of Ananias this time. His second denial in verse 58, it says, "After a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also with them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I know him not.'" Peter not only denies being one of the disciples, but said he didn't even know Jesus. And the final denial came about an hour later, when another man, and about in the space of an hour, another confidant affirmed him, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also is with him, for he is in a Galilean." And you read over in Matthew about this, and Matthew says that his accent gave him away when he spoke. Now, everybody knows that it don't take much to know if someone is from Boston or someone is from the Deep South. Their accent in that day, they had accents. Someone's from a foreign country. We know his accent gave him away. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crowed. Matthew 26:73 says, "And after a while come unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, 'Surely also thou art with him, for thy speech betrayeth thee.'" That's what Matthew says about it. You don't have to spend much time, like I say, to know where we're from. We've got the old Texas drawl. We've got those people that talk funny in California, or whatever they call that language they talk out there, that's the Valley Girls, they call it. That, what all that, somebody that's from another country. Huddled around a fire in the courtyard, his accent became his liability because it associated him with Jesus of Nazareth. Peter denies his involvement. What's encouraging about Peter's story is he learns from his failures. Failure is not fatal if you recognize that everybody fails. Every one of us at some point fails. Nobody's perfect, and everybody fails. Honestly, we face defeat. Just because we fail at one thing don't mean that you're a total failure. You know, we do a lot of things. I try to do a lot of things, and I seem to fail at them. It don't work. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. Jesus' prediction about Peter was fulfilled. Earlier that day, it was Peter that was one of the first disciples who boastfully said over in Matthew 26:33, and Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never offend thee. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. And likewise was also said all the disciples. Peter said, I'm not going to deny you. He started out as a ball of fire, but when things got going, self-preservation took in. Peter was absolutely sure that he wouldn't fail Jesus in loyalty and courage, but as Peter neared the finish line, he stumbled. He denied Jesus three times, and to a few nameless, insufficient people, he denied Christ. Peter stumbled. Peter had failed. He had failed to tell the truth. He had failed to keep his promise. He had failed in his loyalty to Jesus. And a lot of times we end up doing the same things in our spiritual life. We all start out well. We're going to do well. But sometimes things get in our way, and we want to succeed. We have a desire to be faithful. But then we're distracted, and we allow influences come into our lives. We make bad decisions. And as a result, we experience failure. Failure is not fatal, though. If we remember, God's love and forgiveness is not dependent on our success. It says, for whosoever, for God so loved the world, while we were yet sinners, he loved us. He cared for us. He gave his life for us. No matter how you fail, what sin you allow into your life, the Savior who died for you still loves you in spite of yourself. No matter what you've done, he loves you. He's always there. Come back. I spent a lot of years on the backside of the desert after I came back from Vietnam, and Jesus was always there saying, come back, son. And boy, I'm so thankful that he never gave up on me. He could have said, this guy's a lost cause. But he's there. Come to me. And I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And he has. He has really, truly blessed my life. Things I didn't want, things I didn't think I needed, he gave me. He showed me how they were beneficial to my life. A wife, man, I'd been single for a lot of years. I didn't need a wife. I didn't want a wife. A wife that I wouldn't have, she gets mad at me, but I say I wouldn't have married on the bet, was the best thing that happened to me. And God showed me that that's what I needed. He put her in my life, and I thank God. She's a little hard to deal with sometimes, but she's mine. She's mine, and I love her. The story of Christianity is a story of failed men and women who have found new futures. A single sentence has a lot of explosive power in verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. You know, most of us married men, we know our wives when they give us that look. They put that eye on us, you know. And we begin to worry about ourselves. What didn't I do? Or what did I do? And that's the way that the Lord looked at Peter. But you know, the Lord looking at Peter would have all been in vain if Peter hadn't been looking at the Lord. Peter looked at the Lord, and it says later on, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, of how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. No matter what I've done, I can look at God in the face, and he'll have that little, get it right, son. And we get it right when my wife looks at me. Best for me to head for the barn outside, because that's where the safe place is. But when the Lord looked at Peter, was it in disappointment or sadness or compassion and understanding? What kind of look was it? Of course, the Bible don't tell us what kind of look it was, but whatever it was, Peter broke down. But no matter how efficient the look was at Jesus, you know, if Peter hadn't been looking at Jesus, it would have been all worth it. And that Peter had looked at Jesus, and it was in repentance. It was in repentance for what he'd done. That was a turning point in Peter's life. Jesus had predicted a turning point back in Luke 22:32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith faileth not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter remembered the words of the Lord and how he said that he would deny him before the cock crowed. God's love and forgiveness doesn't depend, again, on our success. I've tried. Failure isn't fatal if we learn and grow from our failures, if we learn things. Verse 62, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. The things that we fail at, the things we fail the Lord in, and I fail him, it seems like on a daily basis in some kind of way, I fail the Lord. But he's always there. Forgives me. Take advantage of your failure. Don't waste it. Learn all you can from it, and every bitter experience can teach you something. When it says he wept bitterly, it means that he wept with great remorse. Though Judas had no remorse, alone was not enough. You know, if Judas had just said, Lord, I'm sorry. But you know one thing, Judas, he kissed the gate to heaven, and he never made it. Peter betrayed the Lord, denied him, but Peter had remorse. Peter had, I'm sorry, Lord, for what I've done. But Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Amen. Failure is not fatal. Failure is not fatal if we put failures behind us. If we're always looking back at what we should have, could have, would have done, and look forward and see what the Lord brings you to. You know, when the Lord called me to the truck stop ministry, I fought him day and night. I arm wrestled him. No, Lord, you got the wrong fella for this. This is I'm not the right guy. And the first time I went over there, I prepared a message, and I went over there, and nobody showed up. Nobody. I said, see, Lord, You got the wrong guy. So they told me, so well, you come back next week. We'll see how it goes. Okay. I went back next week, and it was standing room only in the place. And Lord said, see, it's not about you. It's about me. And I've been greatly blessed from all that time. Proverbs 24:16 reminds us, for a just man falls seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Our greatest glory is not in never falling, but getting up again. How many times have you fell and done something? How many times have you not completed the goal? How many times have fallen down? What's more important is how many times have you gotten up and fought again and win again to try to win the battle that you set out. You may not have the greatest victory that you ever had, but just those little skirmishes that get you over that. Each of us fail at some time or another. We will fail God, and the devil will tell us that we're finished, we're done, we're over. You know, you can't do it. I told you you couldn't do it. But God is always there for us. Your future is destroyed, but that's not God's message to us. We must never use failure as an excuse not to try again. You know, many times I fall and I fail at things I do, and somebody keeps telling me, well, you just failed at that, you failed at this. No, I haven't. I just found out a bunch of ways it don't work. I'll get there. Our greatest glory is not in never falling, but getting up again. You may not reclaim the losses, undo the damage, or reverse the consequences, but you can make a new start, more sensitive, renewed by the Holy Spirit, and more determined to do it right. You know, and the best part of Peter's story doesn't end there. Peter didn't have to live with the rest of his life with a heavy burden, sorrow, and regrets. Instead, Jesus reinstated him and asked him to become the leader of the church. You know, over there in John, Jesus asked, Peter, do you love me? And when those guys were back in the campfire were telling him that, you know, you're one of them, you're one of them. After they told Peter about the third time, he was getting a little upset and he started cussing and carrying on, you know. And we do that when people keep accusing us of something. We get frustrated and we get angry and we want to fight back. Well, over, Jesus asked, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. Then feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Then feed my sheep. And about the third time the Lord asked Peter, did he love him? Peter got a little upset. Lord, you know that I love you. Why do you keep asking me this? You know, yes, I love you, Lord. He began to get a little upset that, you know, but he restored Peter. And Peter went on to do great things for the Lord. Failure is not fatal if we recognize that everyone fails. And remember that God loves us and forgives us. It's not dependent on our success. And we love and we learn and grow from our failures, from our mistakes. We put our failures behind us and we go on. This message is short, but it just gives you something to think about. You know, as we go into, well, I can't get it done. I can't do this. I can't do that. Or I'm not ever going to be anything. I'm not ever going to do good. God is always there. You being successful, you being a prize-winning student, God is there. He's been there many times to pick me up just about the time I hit the dust. He's been there to stand behind me. Yes, you can do it. And I pray every day that even when Brother Riggs asked me to do this, I panicked on Thursday. Before daylight, I got a text saying, "Can you do it?" And I said, "Yes." And I started panicking because there's been many preachers stand in this pulpit much more able to preach than I am and give you good food and good sermons. I just give you a little something to think about. Failure is not fatal if we put Jesus Christ first in our life. Every head bowed and every eye closed.